Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. On March 30th, 1969, the Iowa Education Broadcast Network was established. Now, many things have changed in Iowa since that day, but what we now know as Iowa Public Television marks that day as its birthday. All this year, IPTV is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and this hour, we're going to take a look back over those 50 years of educating, enlightening, and entertaining Iowans of all ages. We also want to hear from you. Share your IPTV memories. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And normally at this point, I would disclose that IPTV is an underwriter of Iowa Public Radio, but I want to explain our relationship just a little bit further because many people believe that IPTV and Iowa Public Radio are part of the same organization. We are not. We are separate entities, good friends with similar missions in serving Iowa. And now I want to welcome some of my guests this hour. Molly Phillips is here, Executive Director and General Manager of Iowa Public Television. Hello, Molly.
Hello, Charity. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. We're thrilled.
Also, Dave Miller is here. He's Senior Producer and Executive Producer of Market to Market. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Wonderful. And with me also is Dean Borg, who was with Iowa Public Television almost from the very beginning as the host of Iowa Press.
We grew up together.
Right? Well, I've seen the clips, Dean, and I think that's 100% true. So I want to start with a little bit of understanding of Iowa Public Television. Molly, I know you've been there for 29 years. You've been general manager for the last 6 of those years. But I think it's really easy for Iowans to take Iowa Public Television for granted. But this network that we have access to in the state of Iowa is really not typical of public television around the country. What makes the network unique?
You know, so many things. It's first of all, it's a statewide network, so that in itself, it tends to be part of a unique part of Iowa Public Television. So we cover literally all 99 counties. We are heavy into education. Everything we do educates people. I tell my staff all the time, you know, just remember, everything you do, you're making a difference in someone's life. And we do that every single day. We educate, we inspire, we enrich, and educate people's lives every single day. We're unique because we continue to work hard to give Iowans the stories they want. And that is something that we work on every single day to keep the editorial control with Iowa Public Television, but to serve Iowans in every minute of every day. We're 24 hours, 7 days a week, and we have 4 channels now because of digital programming, and we have something to offer everybody. That you can't possibly go to 4 different channels in our digital service and not find something that you want to watch or listen to or engage in.
You mentioned that it's unusual to have a statewide network, a public television service that serves an entire state. And for people who've lived elsewhere in the country, they know that, you know, I lived in Michigan for 10 years, and there were many public television stations with different programming and in different studios doing different things. What was the vision for this IPTV network? Where did that come from?
The vision came from Governor Ray, Bob Ray. There's no debate about it. And he was the one that signed the bill that started Iowa Public Television on March 30th, 1969. And his vision was to ultimately be a statewide network. It took time, certainly. Right now we have 9 transmitters and 8 translators, and those are the towers that you see across the state that put the signal out. We are free over the air. Anyone can get us free over the air. We're also on cable systems. We're on Dish and Direct, satellite companies. But it was his vision that, you know, the airwaves were very important, and there should be something out there for people to learn about their state, learn about, you know, we don't just learn about our own state, but we also try to help people learn about other parts of the world. And by not even having to leave their living room, maybe. And he saw that and envisioned that, which is just incredible to think, you know, 50 years back, to think that he had that vision. And so many smart people were able to pull that all together and literally make that happen.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. And Dean Borg, as I mentioned, you were there from almost the start. You started in 1971.
Yes, that's right.
So the origins of Iowa Public Television were somewhat humble.
Inauspicious.
Right. Give me an idea of what the organization was like when you started.
Well, I was at Channel 2 in Cedar Rapids at the time, commercial broadcasting, and I received an invitation from Robert Bradsell, who was program director at that time, for in charge of public affairs, let me say it that way. I don't think he was actually program director. But I received an invitation to come and be a part of the a new show that he was envisioning called Iowa Press, and it would bring journalists from across the state. I was at a pretty forward-looking station at that time commercially. So when I got over to Des Moines that first time, and we were in a school building on the second floor in a classroom with cables running out the window into a mobile unit in the parking lot. And I thought, you know, this is really kind of baling wired together, isn't it? But look how the thing is growing.
Right. Did you have second thoughts when you
No, I didn't have any second thoughts because really, and Molly can maybe pick up on this, and Dave Miller too, but there wasn't too much attention being given to public television at that time. In fact, it wasn't public television. It was educational television. And commercial broadcasters and this new upstart had sort of a contentious relationship. Commercial broadcasters did not want public television to be encroaching on showing movies or anything like that. Their mission was educational, and stay in your lane was the way that they regarded it. So I really had to have permission from the top at Channel 2, the WMT stations, in order to be a part of a program on this new upstart in Des Moines.
Yeah. Wait, Molly, did you have anything you want to add to that?
No, Dean actually was at places that I was not at. So I wasn't ever there, and I actually wasn't ever in Bell Avenue, the next place that Iowa Public Television went to. I've always been, in my 29 years, been at the network building in Johnston. So I would say he's right on. There wasn't a lot of talk. Now I would say, you know, when he talks about the commercial stations, it has changed so much.
You're right.
It's amazing the support we get from commercial stations. And they understand that we're not in competition with them, that we all offer something different, something that, you know, we don't offer what they do, and they certainly can't offer what we do. One of the things that we're most proud of with Iowa Public Television is that we always say we have boots on the ground. And that is, you know, engagement is a big part of what we do. We get out and about across the state of Iowa, and commercial stations, as you know, are just, you know, at their city of license, and they stay there. They don't have a time in their schedule where they can do really local programming or long form documentaries, and we're able to do that and to create great programming that they're unable to. So he's right, but it's really switched right now.
And I'm glad you said that, Molly, because I should have emphasized the fact that that has completely switched from suspicion and animosity toward this new place to watch television on the different channels to collegial partnerships, now all broadcasters together.
And Dave, let's go back to your origins with IPTV, because you've been part of the organization for 35 years,
yes.
Although you actually did a little bit of freelance work before that.
Well, this is one of those where I want to go back even further. When KDPS existed at the Bell or at the Tech High School location, there was a program that that made it across when we switched in 69 to being the Iowa Educational Broadcasting Network. It was called KDPS Land, which the original call letters of the station were KDPS, Des Moines Public Schools. And there was a show called KDPS Land. And if you think back, you know, now we go to the web and we look at shows and we get education that way. It's like if you have a question about how to do something, you just go to the web and look it up. But back then, KDPS was providing instructional television in the schools. Well, one of my friends was the art guy. His name was Bill Lobel. And Mr. Lobel asked whether or not some of the kids in my class would want to go down and be on KDPS. Well, the day I went down there, they were doing TV day. And so they let us run around the station. And so I'm like 8 or 9 years old. And I go, this would be a really cool job to have. This would be fun. So I was at the Tech High School location in that capacity. And then when I started in 84, I was freelancing in 83 doing Iowa Press and hockey. We used to do hockey games. We had, and I had to go back and look it up, but sometime in the late 70s, I think 79, we started doing USHL hockey. Well, in 83, we were trying to do a symphony series where we took the mobile unit out and covered, I think, 6 symphonies in 6 months, which is a big lift when you think about all the logistical support that has to go
and
into that.
Dave, we're going to have to pick up on that story in just a moment. We just have to take a short break.
Okay.
We'll be back. We are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Iowa Public Television. And with me, Dave Miller. He is executive producer of Market to Market. He's been with Iowa Public Television for 35 years. Dean Borg is here. He was with IPTV almost from the very start as the host of Iowa Press. And Molly Phillips, executive director and general manager of IPTV. We'll continue in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Iowa Public Television. And IPTV is celebrating all year long. They have a number of public events coming up. IPTV Day at the Ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels this weekend on Sunday. They're holding an Iowa Public Television open house at their studios in Johnston on Saturday, May 18th. And then IPTV Day at the Ballpark with the Iowa Cubs coming up in June 9th. And of course, IPTV will be at the Iowa State Fair. It's always at the Iowa State Fair, but celebrating in a big way this year. With me this hour, Molly Phillips, executive director and general manager of IPTV. Dave Miller, he's a senior producer at IPTV and executive producer of Market to Market. Dean Borg is also here. He was with Iowa Public Television almost from the very beginning as the host of Iowa Press and, of course, did many other broadcasts over the years as well. And you are welcome to join our conversation with your memory, your thoughts about IPTV and the role that it plays in the state of Iowa. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we are going to listen to some clips from Iowa Press and other programs in just a moment. But Dave, I had to interrupt you as you were talking about some of the very early days of Iowa Public Television and your introduction to IPTV as a viewer before, long before it was called IPTV. But continue. Tell us a little bit more about those Des Moines public school days.
My memory was learning music, where you'd actually have a music teacher, and this is elementary school. I went to Greenwood Elementary, and we would, at some point in the day, have a 15-minute music class. We'd have history from Rowena Beck, who I understand Mrs. Beck is still alive. And that's going to be part of my search is to find her. There, when we switched over in 1969, there were legacy programs we brought along. One of them was Volume C. It was hosted by a guy named Carl Williams, who was one of the few African-American hosts working in public television at the time. And some of the others would have been on Sesame Street, which started at the in 69 as well. And Cadippus Land, we would take art. Mr. Lobel would come on and tell us how to fold paper so you get a clean line and how to draw shapes and 3D perspective. There was a Spanish class. I never took Spanish, never took language, but you could learn Spanish from KDPS. And that was kind of our early legacy. We were sitting here at the table talking this morning of what's the oldest program that we have in our library. And it'd be something from 1971. It was a composite reel of our fair coverage, which we've covered the fair every year since 71, which is quite a long time. And you look back at that and you go, well, how come you don't have other shows? How come you don't have some of the original Market to Markets or the original Iowa Press? Well, the tapes were so expensive at the time, you would record the show. It would be broadcast at whatever its regular time, like Market to Market at 8 o'clock on Friday nights. You would record that. You'd put it out there and you go, okay, we're done. Thanks. What else do we have to record? Okay, we'll take that tape and we're going to repurpose it.
So you just record it over it.
Oh, yeah. No, you,
Dave, that brings up a story, and I'll make it very, very short here. Oftentimes, we'd start an Iowa Press recording, and we'd have to stop because a camera would malfunction.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And the way, we often joked about it, but the way that they repaired that on the spot was to take their fist and bang the camera on the side.
Oh, no. There was a camera we had even in the early 80s that it would be blue, and if you tapped it in the right spot on the side, it would come back and it would show the right color. That one eventually was retired, but that's one of those mechanical failures where you go, okay, Joe, you should be able to fix this. It was an engineer named Joe Hines, and Joe, you should be able to fix this thing. They could never figure out what was loose. They knew something was wrong, but they could never get the darn thing to work. It would operate fine while we were running, but it's like three, reach up and tap the side of your camera.
Well, the other thing, too, Dave, as we're talking about, Molly has said that she wasn't at the Bell Avenue studios. Well,
yeah.
After we left the Tech High School second floor classroom where we had the first, quote, studio, we moved to the Iowa State Fairgrounds for a time, an interim period after that, and then out to these new Bell Avenue studios, which were a converted aircraft factory, Bell, you know, aircraft. And it was a kind of a poor location because why would you ever locate a television studio adjacent to railroad switching yards?
Oh, no.
Yes. And we were also in the aircraft traffic pattern for the Des Moines Municipal Airport. So there would be times where you had to make the decision, all right, I heard a jet pass. Do we let it go or do we stop and start over again? And so we would schedule things to coincide with, are they switching outside?
Wow.
Are they doing anything? And I know we
As
did.
As if it's not hard enough to get guests in the studio
to
also coordinate with the rail yard. let's get to some clips. And Dean, I want to hear from you before we listen to this one, because we're going to play a moment from Iowa Press. And Iowa Press, of course, viewers have been familiar with it for so long. But because Iowa is a caucus state,
yes,
Iowa Press meant that you were not just covering politics in Iowa.
No.
You were covering national politics. And you have interviewed every president since JFK, except for President Trump.
Yes, except for President Trump. In this last cycle, neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump came on Iowa Press because the climate and the audience they wanted to get to and the type of campaigns they were running has changed over the years, and they didn't want to sit down to an over-the-table question and answer period during a half hour.
Well, let's listen back to a conversation between you and George Herbert Walker Bush. Yes. This was from Iowa Press in 1979.
Who came accompanied by Texas Rangers.
Really? All right. He came accompanied by Texas Rangers. And, of course, his chief rival at the time was Ronald Reagan, who he would eventually serve with as vice president. Let's listen.
Doesn't it frustrate you to be constantly asked about Ronald Reagan? And without having Ronald Reagan visible before the people, he's back.
No, it would frustrate me if I weren't being able to put together the strongest, best organization in this state. If his invisibility denied me access to people or kept people from failing to commit to me, then I would be frustrated. But really, you raised the question. I wasn't about to sit here and somehow figure out how do I work in the fact that Reagan is not giving and taking on Q&As or doing as much on debating, you see. I'm not too concerned about that.
But the point I was making is, we said at the beginning of this program, your name isn't really a household word. But Ronald Reagan can be at the ranch, issue press releases without exposing himself to the Q&A that you were talking about,
sir.
And yet is a front runner. Doesn't that frustrate you?
No, it doesn't frustrate me because we're making headway in the ways. It also, I might add, you could throw in Connally and Baker. They're both much better known. And I used to be an asterisk on the polls. When I creep up to 5%, I think that's fantastic.
All right, that's George Herbert Walker Bush on Iowa Press being interviewed by Dean Borg in 1979. And he certainly had the last laugh with the Iowa caucuses that year, right, Dean?
Yeah, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He edged out Ronald Reagan.
Well,
31% to 29%.
And it wasn't the only time that's happened. We go back to the late 1960s, and we had a governor from Georgia who was a peanut farmer, unknown, and came up and appeared on Iowa Press, and I think we sort of gave him the statewide credibility that he needed to go out and hold the type of caucus events that eventually propelled him into getting the nomination.
And of course, you're talking about Jimmy Carter there. What do you remember about talking to Jimmy Carter?
I remember that he's very soft-spoken, and I thought at the time, nice guy, but boy, you're not going to go anywhere.
So when you ask for predictions of the future, Dean Borg may not be the man to,
no.
to turn to. We are talking about the history of Iowa Public Television this hour. IPTV is celebrating its 50th anniversary. And Dean, before we move on to a few other broadcasts, I think that it really does bear conversation about the importance of Iowa Press in the conversation in the state of Iowa. I mean, this program has for so many years given Iowans access to newsmakers in the state,
yes,
but also to reporters and these very in-depth, candid conversations. That's very powerful television.
Yes, it is. And when I spoke of the difference in the last presidential campaign, not wanting to sit down, the candidates not wanting to sit down after they were secured the nomination and answer a half hour of give and take and follow-up questions. That has changed, but it really, over the years, has given us access and Iowans access to penetrating past the veneer of campaigns and getting into what is this candidate all about? And we were able to show that to all of Iowa, which was going to be participating in these caucuses. And, of course, that doesn't only apply to the presidential candidates. It applies to nearly every guest we had on Iowa Press. People across the state comment on what value that added to their lives.
Let's play a little more tape from 1979, and there was it's not just the caucuses that make everybody look at Iowa. There was an important event in 1979 where really the eyes of the world were on Iowa for a short time. Let's play a part of your broadcast from Iowa Public Television when Pope John Paul II visited Iowa, and this broadcast was hosted by Mary Jane Odell.
It's the fourth stop on his historic trip to the United States, a pilgrimage to rural America. In the next hours, we will bring you live That's live coverage of the Pope's journey through America's heartland, from his arrival at the Des Moines Airport, where reporter Sarah Ivey is standing by, from a small church called St. Patrick's, and known to others as the Irish Settlement, nestled in the rolling hills near Cumming. Dean Borg is waiting there. And from a place called Living History Farms, where 200,000 people are waiting for John Paul II's arrival, his mass, and his address on rural life and the land.
Just a little bit from the broadcast when Pope John Paul II visited in Iowa in 1979. And Dean, you were part of that broadcast. And we were talking earlier about how maybe the little bit of the shoestring budget of public television back in those days. Tell me about your coverage of the Pope.
It makes me shake to even think about it. This was a very isolated, you heard Marie Genodeus tell say that I was at St. Patrick's, a rural church, Catholic church, of course, out in rural Cummings, Iowa. It was too isolated and too compact to be able to have the press corps in mass out there, and so that was very, very limited access. Only, we call it, pool reporters, and I was one of the pool reporters, and I was in charge of providing the television coverage. And Molly and Dave can correct me, but I think it was worldwide coverage. It was going not only to PBS, but worldwide coverage. I was
That's right.
I was taken out the day before by a member of the engineering staff and showed wires in the grass on the lawn of St. Patrick's Church that were buried and with ends sticking up. And this is where the engineer told me, we'll send this satchel that we have along here, and this is how you do it. You connect with your fingers, connect these wires that are sticking here out of the ground to your microphone, and that will be your feed, your connection to making the telecast. And I had no connection whatsoever with the people who were on the air the following day. They couldn't talk to me, and you know, before cell phones, of course. So all I did, I had a small monitor out there, television set that had AC power, and I was able to listen to Mary Jane O'Dell, then throw the broadcast to me. And when she said Dean Borg is at Cummings, and I started talking, I had no idea whether I'd connected the wires coming out of the ground correctly to my equipment. I had no idea that I was being heard. I started talking and went to the end. But that, talk about feeling isolated.
Absolutely. Do you still have nightmares?
Only when I think about it.
Well, obviously, things worked, and that became a really historic moment for Iowa Public Television. Dave, I want to ask you about the origins of Market to Market. You are now executive producer of Market to Market, which is a nationally syndicated show out of Iowa Public Television and has been for more than four decades. I think we see PBS on IPTV, and we don't necessarily understand the relationship of Iowa Public Television to PBS, the public broadcast service. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, not every station, not every network has a national show. This is a significant thing.
No. We started in October of 1975, so the way seasons work and the calendar creeping back and all sorts of things like that, we'll start our 45th season in August of this year. And I'm the fifth exec of the program. Bob Bradsell was the first. And it was the idea was we got some people together and we talked about not so much rural issues. There were a few of those things. But it's kind of kept the same format. So they talked about news that affects rural America. And then in those days, they would just talk about the markets. And eventually, it began to bring in news stories. In fact, almost right off the top, they would have reporters go out and cover the news. So we were sending people all over the United States in those early years. And now, like I, as the exec, one of the guys came to me and he said, hey, I want to do dairy in Canada. And I was like, okay, let's figure it out. And another one of the guys said, hey, I want to go to Cuba and take a look at the opportunities there. And so we figured it out so that they could go. But over the years, we've been at all of the pivotal points in agriculture. So during the 1980s, during the farm crisis, we did special reports and special shows either about what to do with things that were affecting farmers and people on Main Street. There were three phone-in shows that we did, which if you think about that, now it's, you know, you can send via the web and you'd be on your cell phone. People had to call in from their houses on their landlines to us. We'd screen the calls, not unlike you do now. And then Chet Randolph, one of the original hosts, would go forth and read the questions to the panel of experts.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Iowa Public Television this hour on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Iowa Public Television, dating back to March 30th, 1969. With me this hour, Molly Phillips, Executive Director and General Manager of IPTV, Dean Borg. He was the host of Iowa Press for many, many years and with Iowa Public Television almost from the very start. Dave Miller is also here. He is Senior Producer and he's Executive Producer of Market to Market. And Dave, just before the break, we were talking about Market to Market, of course, one of the flagship shows of Iowa Public Television, but also of PBS. It's a nationally syndicated program. You'll be entering your 45th season covering the world of agriculture. And while this started in the studios of Iowa Public Television, you mentioned you've had producers traveling the globe. You yourself have traveled all over the United States and the globe covering these stories, haven't you?
Yeah. In fact, the one thing about Iowa Public Television and its reach and the commitment that we have to telling both the unique tale of Iowa and telling the story of agriculture with this particular program, and that's from Main Street to Farm Gate. I mean, it's not just something that happens in a farm field. But I've been lucky enough to travel from California to Ukraine. In 1991, we went to Ukraine. Sarah Frasher, who was a producer at the time, wanted to cover someone who had come to the U.S. and looked around and said, I think I can do this in the Soviet Union. And so the difference was it was a place that he called the Iowa Farm. And it was a guy named Ivan Husar. And I went with Phil Blobaum and Sarah Frasher and Walter Anastas. And we went over and spent 18 days going to Ivan's farm and looking closely. And we went behind the Iron Curtain. And it was really eye-opening to see the differences between the U.S. and places that, as kids, we were all like, "Oh, this is the Soviet Union. These are the other side of the line for us." And after coming back, then eventually I became a producer and worked for Market to Market from about '95 until I became exec in 2015. But I went all over the United States. I probably visited the lower 44 of the lower 48, covering stories that are important to agriculture. And when you look at the reach of Market to Market, we're on, if you include Iowa, we're on in 20 states across the United States. We're on in the Valley in California. We're on in Arkansas and Oklahoma and New Mexico, and I'll forget one, Ohio, Michigan. There's so many places, the Dakotas. And the work that we do affects the people that watch. We take this weekly view. You can see stuff every day about agriculture and about the markets, but we take this long view, and we always have, and we always will, looking back over what happened over the week. And it's a big funnel. You know as well as I do, when you look at what news is available, you really have to pick and choose as to what's important to your audience. And we've lived that way from Chet Randolph through Mark Pearson and Mike Pearson and now Delaney Howell. those are the faces that we put up there to help guide the discussion about rural America.
We're talking about the 50th anniversary of Iowa Public Television. You are welcome to join the conversation with your memories. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or call us 866-780-9100. We have a tweet from Gangster Geek who says, I have many fond memories watching sci-fi programming on public television as a child, including Doctor Who, Red Dwarf, and Stargazer. It started my love for all things science. And Molly, I'm sure you hear stories like that all the time of people whose lives really have been profoundly affected, not just a love of science, but I know that you've heard extraordinary stories about how public broadcasting has really changed lives, right?
We hear them quite often, but there's always a few that stick with you. And one of the stories is a special needs child. When he was young, the doctors told his mom that he would never speak. And she says to us, he now speaks. He's in special education. He's a high school student. And he speaks now because he watched Iowa Public Television. And he learned to speak by watching the educational kids shows that we have. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that, really, to think that what you do every day has changed someone's life so dramatically that that's why we keep doing it. We love what we do. I have staff that are just amazingly passionate for what they do. And they come in charged and ready to go and do and make a difference in the world. And, we made a difference in this child's life and his parents and grandparents and teachers and we hear of people many times telling us that English is not their first language, but they watch Iowa Public Television, and by watching so much of it that they were able to learn how to speak English. And that just makes us very proud.
Let's talk a little bit about the relationship of Iowa Public Television to the state of Iowa. As you were saying earlier, Molly, that it was Governor Ray who really had the vision for Iowa Public Television and this statewide network. And Dean, you remember those early days when first you were with the Des Moines Public School District and then with the state of Iowa and making that transition. Tell me how Iowa Public Television charted their course, an independent course at that time.
Well, the Des Moines Public Schools sold Channel 11 to the state of Iowa. And of course, the public schools, it was strictly an educational broadcasting station. And when it was acquired by the state of Iowa, I think some people in state government thought that it was going to continue that way. And of course, as Molly has just said, Iowa Public Television has a significant yet educational role in among Iowans, not probably on Channel 12, but in the distance learning and other channels that Iowa Public Television operates. But at that time, many in state government thought that, we've got our own TV station now, and we can have this kind of program and get this information that we want to with our slant without having to go through news media. And John Montgomery, who was the first executive director, had a very difficult time because he had to, at first, placate this state-now-owned Iowa Public Television, I'll say the call now, but as it's called now, but also maintain the editorial independence and integrity of Iowa Public Television public affairs programs. And that was a very delicate balance that he had to walk, but had to be very firm about it, that no, state government, this is not your megaphone.
And Molly, the relationship with the state of Iowa is a very strong one for Iowa Public Television, also a very important relationship. A great deal of funding for IPTV comes from the state government of Iowa. Can you describe the relationship a little bit for us and how things stand today?
Sure. The state of Iowa is a huge part of our funding. It's about 49% of our overall budget. It is just a great relationship we have from the governor's office through all of the legislature. They understand what we do. They really get what we do. In you know, not just what they see on the broadcast, but other things that we do. And it is a hard line. It still is. We don't have near the pushback of, hey, I need this on air. You know, every once in a while we might run into it, but they really understand that, yes, we are a television station, but we have editorial control and integrity, and that we decide what goes on air and what doesn't. But, you know, we have a lot of funders. We get money from the federal government. And one of our most important sources are viewers. And we have over 60,000 households that are members of the Iowa Public Television Foundation. And as we say, we could not do it without them. We can't do it without any of those three major sources, state, federal, and the private sector. And that is whether they're members of the foundation, whether they're underwriters, major gifts, major donors, all those things. Dan Miller, my predecessor, used to call it a three-legged stool. And if you chopped one of those legs off, then you've got a problem. And that is certainly true still today.
And don't you think, Molly, that is the strength of Iowa Public Television and the integrity and the believability, knowing that we have editorial independence and it's a win-win for everyone?
I absolutely believe that. It is something that we talk about at the station almost daily. Things come up. People want to sponsor different shows. But if they sponsor something that they're related to, then we can't have them be an underwriter for that show. And there's no hard and fast rules, and everybody kind of does it differently. I would say that I learned so much from Dan Miller, and I believe in editorial control and integrity, that so does my staff. And it is literally something we talk about almost every day. And it is for the viewers that we hold such a tight line on that.
We've talked a lot about public affairs programming this hour, of course, with Dave and Dean and their specialties. That's been a wonderful part of the conversation. But let's move the conversation a little bit to some of the other things that Iowa Public Television does. Of course, as many people know, I host a cooking show on Iowa Public Television, Iowa Ingredient. But long before Iowa Ingredient was on the air, there was this really fantastic cooking show called Microwave Cookery. And this is a highlight from a 1981 episode when, of course, using your microwave was a brand new frontier.
Microwave Cookery with Marilyn Martinez.
We have a pizza crisper heating here, and I'm going to get our pizza from the freezer. We're going to make a frozen pizza. All kids like to make frozen pizza. I think it needs a little extra stuff on there. A little extra stuff is not necessarily necessary, but if you want to enhance your pizza, you can add a little bit of stuff.
So there he is. It's giving me lunch ideas right now.
Oh, yes. That's the educational.
Yes. Delicious.
Right, absolutely. But Molly, give me a little bit of an idea of the depth and breadth of some of the things you've done on Iowa Public Television over the years. Because, I mean, we've talked about educational programs, we've talked about public affairs, but there's so much more.
Oh, my gosh, there is so much more. You know, whether it's the special we did on the renovations at the Capitol, and we had the crew climb up on the outside of the domes and record that and put a show together, whether it's Iowa Outdoors, Iowa Press, the quilting shows, the kids show, you know, how can we not talk about that? The Kids Clubhouse Adventure Show that is in its fourth season.
Well, showcasing, Molly, all of the singers and the musicians.
Oh, yes.
Every year at Iowa State.
All-state music, Iowa High School
piano
music.
Piano competition.
Absolutely. Terrace Hill competition, piano competition, high school musical, girls' high school sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on. Vietnam stories. We have documentaries, 6-on-6 girls sports that happens to stand out because we just saw a little exhibition on that at the girls state tournament. The documentaries that one of our producers does, Laurel Bauer. But, we're also moving into the digital realm. And so we have digital-only kinds of things. Greetings from Iowa. If you haven't seen that, you've got to go and look that up. It's a wonderful short series that we're doing digital and trying to balance whether we keep broadcasting or we go digital and how we do that and how fast we do that. But, we're doing more and more live shows. It's Iowa Land and Sky is our latest show that we did using drones. The drones were taken out over 500 times. I could talk all day about the different shows that we have done over the years.
Right.
That
well,
are
and
just
covering
incredible.
Symphonies and covering operas and ballet and all kinds of things. And before we run out of time, I think one of the significant things about this conversation, Molly, you've been there 29 years, Dave, 35. Dean, you were there over 45 years and still have a relationship with Iowa Public Television because you're terrible at retiring. I think this is not unusual. You have some pretty incredible longevity of your staff. Dave, that really is significant about your organization, isn't it?
It is. At one point we did, and this is in recent history, the average stay was listed at 15 years. And it's about what you get to do when you work for Iowa Public Television. I go to work every day. I work with my friends. The whole idea is to tell the unique tale of Iowa and to open up a door that most people can't go through. So operas from like 1979, people wouldn't necessarily get to go to see the Des Moines Metro Opera. We provided the venue. Your program is in the ninth season of production. Iowa Outdoors, the ninth season of production. We had a history of long-tail programs. So Take One, Living in Iowa, that went deep into the perspective of Iowans from a human interest point. That's what Greetings from Iowa does. Our original children's programs, Volume C and Kidipas Land, now mirrored with Kids Clubhouse Adventures. We've gone into the digital realm. We're on the web where you can see things at your own pace. We have an app for Kids Clubhouse Adventures now. We've always stood on the edge of what can we do for Iowa and Iowans, and how can we do that both technologically and from a perspective of how can we give you just a little bit of a glimpse, a window behind the door that most people can't go through.
Well, we are out of time, but congratulations to all of you celebrating the 50th anniversary, and I'm eager to watch what happens over the next 50 years.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Charity.
Enjoyed it.
I've been talking with Molly Phillips, Executive Director and General Manager of Iowa Public Television, Dave Miller, Senior Producer and Executive Producer of Market to Market, Dean Borg, who was the host for many years of Iowa Press and with Iowa Public Television from 1971 on. And of course, IPTV is celebrating their 50th anniversary all this year. Some of the events they have coming up soon, IPTV Day at the ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels on Sunday, May 5th. And they're having an open house at the IPTV studios in Johnston on Saturday, May 18th. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. You never need to miss an episode. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.